Brought to you by Leaving the Ring Network. All boxing, no filter.
Hola, soy Sergio Maravilla Martinez. Esto es LeavingTheRing.com.
How you doing? You're with Abner Mattis, and you're right here with Leave It in the Ring Radio.
This is WBA Super Middleweight Champion Andre Ward, and you're with Leave It in the Ring Radio.
He should be jumping in on about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. So you're going to be stuck with me for a short bit. Let me run you down what's going to happen here on the show, what we have lined up here. We're going to go into Paul Imanagi losing his job, being terminated to from the Showtime commentator seat from some comments he had made in an interview. We're going to get into that of what was the one of the reasons why? The reasons why he was let go. And then we're going to get into the 122 division, which this past Saturday on Showtime, we got to see some new fresh faces in the division. Talk a little bit about how deep it is, and with those new fresh faces that have stormed into the division, how much of a threat they are to it. Also, we're going to talk about that Showtime schedule and COVID-19. You know, COVID-19's out there still knocking everybody down and out. How real is the Showtime schedule? I love it, but we obviously got to be optimistic about it. Can't forget about Roy Jones and Mike Tyson pay-per-view at a $50 markup. We'll get into a little bit of that. And then we're going to talk about the heavyweight division, the eliminators, some really good names, matchups that have been already announced and made. So definitely a lot of stuff to talk about on Leaving the Ring. But what I'm going to take a dive in is the announcement that we received. I don't know, was it Friday or Saturday? I can't even remember. It was a great day. And Showtime, after releasing a phenomenal schedule for boxing fans across the globe and showing that they were still in this game, and that they had taken a back seat so that they can really formulate a schedule that was going to be solid. And if somebody was going to fall out of that schedule, as we saw with their first schedule match on August 1st, Saturday night, with Stephen Fulton, who was supposed to get in there with Leo, they had an exceptional step in for them. Okay, so Showtime has showed that they're a professional business, that they run like a business. You know, they're just not going to throw shit on the wall and, you know, hope that it sticks. So when I saw that they decided to cut ties with Paul Imanagi, and what Paul Imanagi had said in an interview was he had talked about the systematic racism that's been going around in the world. And, you know, he had basically said it was non-existent. Let me see. I'm supposed to have D-Style sit in the seat for Amilcar while we wait for Amilcar. Let me see if D-Style's on here with me. D-Style, are you there, brother?
Yeah, right here, man. Hispanic causing panic on deck. How's it going?
Good, brother. Good, good. So let me roll back to what I was talking about with Paul Imanagi. And so, do you remember the outfit that he was doing the interview with D-Style, Paulie, when he made those comments? I'm trying to was IEF TV or something like that, right? Wasn't it something?
IFL, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere out in the UK. Okay. Now, I didn't hear the interview because they automatically put it down and they put it on private. But you know, some journalists were able to take some of the quotes and put them in an article so that we can read it. Now, he basically was saying that, you know, racism doesn't exist, that it's over-exaggerated. It's a narrative that is false. And Showtime had turned around and asked Paul Imanagi to issue a statement apology. And Paul Imanagi stood by what he believed. Now, I respect a man like any other man that stands by his belief. And Paulie stood by his belief. Now, I could respect that, but I also could say, is he a stupid man? Yes, he's a stupid man. Not because he stood by his belief, but the beliefs that he believed in are stupid. Now, his loyalist fans out there that go, well, whatever he said, it wasn't, to me, that's not grounds to be fired. That's pretty petty for Showtime to jump on him like that and say, you know what, we're going to get rid of him just like that. And so this is what I got to say about that. That you got to look at this a little bit deeper, guys. All right. And, you know, boxing fans, I know we're not labeled as the sharpest tools out of the shed when it comes to the sports world. We just don't hit the high marks. Okay. And that's what you got to look into is this, is that any corporation, even probably even your own job. I mean, you could be a bagger for all I care. You could work as a landscaper for all I know. There's always something you sign on before you start work, right? Like a liability, right? These stuff, you go on a job and they yep. say, okay, you can start tomorrow, but I need you to sign this here. And you got to write down the important things is your name, your social security. And you know, if there's any accident, you know, who do we call, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then they right. hand you a handbook, an employee handbook. Now, this is a real company. This ain't no, like, off the street, around the corner, bodega type of deal. You know, you're gonna get a – there's a company that's giving you a handbook, and in that handbook, there's policies and procedures that you're going to follow through. And in most should I say most or should I just say all, D-Style? Have these policies and procedures. And in all those policies and procedures, there is a moral and ethic standard that you should follow. Now, that means if you break out of that moral ethic standard, that company is okay in terminating you. They have the right to ask you to either retract whatever you did, write a written apology, or they don't even have to ask you that. They can break ties with you because you – by contract, broke that bond. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm telling you what I know I've signed, being that I've been with the union and I own my own business now, and et cetera, okay? Now, I'm not saying that Showtime saw this one-time deal. What I'm saying is that Showtime has been following Paulina Malignaggi as the rest of us. But some of us with open ears, where others love to hear Pauly talk super fast, so fast with so many words put in, you know, in a short sentence. And then we like to hashtag facts right after that when we don't even know what he said. All we heard was Pacquiao, PEDs, that guy from the other country took my job, PEDs, and then hashtag 100 facts. But then you kind of, you know, shuffle through all the bushes of the bullshit that he's saying, you'll realize that guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. And he likes to throw and spew a lot of misinformation. So I'm sure Steven Espinoza and the other people around in Showtime have listened to this and probably have sat down Paulina Malignaggi more than once. And said, hey, you got to, you know, pump the brakes here, little buddy. Stay on the right. Adderall, you know. Now, some folks have hit me up on Gmail and say, hey, man, you've kind of gone hard on Paulie. And you've kind of gone hard on him in the past. Well, if you've been listening to me for years, you know that I don't have a very soft spot for the guy. You know, a matter of fact, you would know that I don't have very much to say about the guy. You know, just that all I could say is I don't think he's a very great human being. I don't like folks that lie. And I don't like folks that try to ruin other people's images and credibility because they're too much of a little man to accept that the other person is successful and may not come from where you come from. And because you're from a spot where you believe that everything should be given to you and the other guy actually worked from the ground up, you feel slated. So the only way you're going to feel that you believe that you get back what is taken, that it's imaginarily taken from you, is you're going to try to kill this man's or anybody else in that fact, credibility. Now,
right.
I like the Showtime commentator, Pauly Malignaggi. I just don't like the off-the-air Pauly Malignaggi. You know, I like the Adderall drug, Pauly, you know, where he's very calm and collective on Showtime. But then off the cuff, on the bench cocaine user, Pauly Malignaggi on Twitter and real life, that's the guy I just don't care for. You know, and I think that overall, of everything that's built up and listed from his crazy rants about the Trump theories and baseless facts that he throws out there in his podcast, to his attacking of Showtime and boxing fans that try to communicate with him on a flea platform like Twitter, it really has crossed the boundaries. The accusations that he swung out there towards fighters, and especially Manny Pacquiao, I think that Showtime has paid attention to it. And I think that this last thing that he said about racism not existing here at this moment of what's going on in our country, I think that was the last straw that broke the camel's back, D-Style. What do you think?
Right. Absolutely. Look, obviously, you know, I grew up in this country as a minority. So do you. And I'm not expecting everybody to, you know, cater to me or kiss my ass or anything like that. But don't tell me fairy tales either, you know. And this whole, like, and I get it, you know, Pauly Malignaggi on Showtime is not the Pauly Malignaggi in personal life. And some people say, well, just why can't he just be his own person outside of the Showtime, and in his private life be somebody else? The problem is it's not private. The problem is it's very public. The problem is he's on a boxing, probably the biggest boxing, you know, outlet out there in IFL in the UK, you know, saying things like this. And it's one thing to say, you know what, maybe he's just ignorant to it and he doesn't understand it. But when the minorities are telling you, right, nah, Pauly, like, this stuff is real, bro. You know, and you not, it's not like he just said, all right, let's agree to disagree and let's move on. No, he kept fighting it over and over. Well, this guy was getting in public arguments on Instagram and Twitter with fans, and not to mention, not even related to this, publicly calling fans idiots and all types of stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not the employer. Showtime's the one forking out their money to pay him, right?
Right.
And here's the reality for Pauly. Like, the reality for Pauly is, I don't see an uprising in Showtime subscribers saying, oh, I'm going to unsubscribe from Showtime now that you fired Pauly. And I don't see a movement or anything. Right?
No.
So that tells you they make the right move. You know, so they're the ones paying them. The subscribers are not on an uproar about it. So at the end of the day, what I will say is this. I do question, if I'm honest, why it took him so long after he made those IFL comments. You know, I understand there's a lot going on right now. So I don't know if Showtime did this because they felt it was a morally right thing to do, or just the correct thing to do, or if they just didn't want any backlash. And Pauly's the one that put them in this position, right? So I don't know. Like, I do question why Showtime did it, or they waited so long. To be honest, I felt like good riddance about it. I felt like, okay, about time. But they did wait quite some time. But that's, one can argue, that's credit to Showtime. They gave this guy a lot of chances, and he kept blowing it, you know? So at the end of the day,
I go back to the
consequences for your action.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that I'm gonna patch in a mill car in really quick. Hold on. But, you know, again, it goes back to the policies and procedures. You know, in any business, you have a moral ethic in those policies and procedures. And the company doesn't immediately terminate you. A company, what they do is they got to have a strong base of a termination, especially when it comes to corporate world. You know, they got to have something solid. So I don't think this was just up in the air, out of the blue. They said, ooh, that comment there is very insensitive. And because we're in a sensitive spot right now, we're going to terminate you. I mean, I'm not arguing with you, D-Style. It could have happened, but I think it was the trickle of things that have come along with it, you know, because Paulie has been kind of free range when he comes to spewing out whatever he feels like, which, hey, that's what attracted fans that don't care what is said, you know, because, you know, fans believe sometimes that the trash talking just shouldn't stop just in, you know, after the fight is over. They want to hear it continue. But, you know, Paulie, you know, had this show that just never seemed to know how to turn off. Like, we really, personally, I don't think we've ever really got to know who the real Paulie Malignaggi was, because it always seemed to me it was kind of a gimmick of who this guy wanted to be. You know, what I saw in the sense that I got from the years of watching Paulie was a guy that was trying to find acceptance and trying to find greatness and would do everything, you know, anything and everything to be famous. Amilcar, do we got you there, brother?
Yeah. Hey, David, and I hope you're feeling well, and apologies. I had a tough
commute
back home today. Just to chime in here real quick, I think Paulie kind of showed us who he was, you know, in his political views with his podcast. I don't remember if you guys remember his podcast a few years ago.
Yeah, him against the world, right?
Yeah, and he was just spewing a whole lot of, like, right-wing nonsense and, you know, for someone who's from a diverse city like New York, the things he was saying about minority groups, and the guy is Sicilian too, by the way, which is interesting on its own. But, you know, the things he was saying, and I know he came out very early in Donald Trump, and this was like right after Donald Trump said those things about Mexicans. This is who Paulie was. I wonder, though, if it was also a budgetary thing, though, with Showtime, because, you know, I remember, you know, kind of midway through the pandemic, networks were kind of releasing people. I remember Jason Whitlock being one, and there were a few others as well. So I don't know if it was a budgetary thing, but this was long overdue, as D-Style was saying. It's we don't really need a guy like this with that kind of a platform. As much as I thought he was good at commenting every now and again, the days of Larry Merchant being able to say certain things on broadcast, those days are long gone.
I totally agree.
I just want to add something really quick. Cause,
go ahead.
Look, when it comes to somebody like, in a position like Paulie Malignaggi, to be saying things about, like, let's say, like Mexicans, for example, and in a sport, by the way, that has a lot of Mexicans in it, I mean, and African-Americans in it. There's a lot of minorities in the sport of boxing, but, I mean, this is the one-year anniversary of when a shooter entered a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and shot up a bunch of Mexican people, okay? Because,
right.
And his manifesto, he wrote down, because they're coming here, they're destroying the country, they're taking our jobs, and this is something I need to do. And that type of rhetoric has consequences. Right, especially if you're in a position like Paulie Malignaggi.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
yes, it has terrible consequences.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you know, the one
large platform too.
Yep, he did. He did have a large platform, you know, and it also goes down with that large platform, though. You could see even right now, where you have a lot of the European Americans saying, I don't have a problem with what Paulie has said in the past. And the reason you don't have a problem with it, because it wasn't directed to you. And, you know, if you think that you're an American and you're sitting there and you believe, well, not believe, but you feel, I don't have an issue with this, then you're not an American, because you should have an issue with this. Because that's not the American way.
I think,
you know,
one of the worst things, too, guys, is that from what I read, he was offered the opportunity to apologize and he refused.
Right.
So he actually could have kept his job.
Yes. Could have. But he stood by his belief. And like I said earlier, Amilcar, before you had came on, I had said, you know, I respect that he stood by what he believed. That he, you know, then, you know, he doesn't believe there's racism in the country. He, you know, he's standing by his beliefs. Now, whether it's smart what he believes in, and I don't think it is. I think he's an idiot. You know, I've never really thought much of the guy when it comes to what's upstairs in his head. Anyways, we got a lot of other stuff here to talk about. I wanted to put, you know, us to put our two cents in because we did receive a lot of stuff about people asking what our thoughts about Paulo Malignaggi. Do we agree with Showtime? I'll ask you right now, D-Style, do you agree with Showtime's move on terminating Paulo Malignaggi and replacing him with now, later on, probably within a month or so, we'll probably find Paulo Malignaggi doing on a Coke bench, screaming out, "A Mexican stole my job," with Abner Morris taking over his mic.
You know, I agree with the decision. You know what I mean? That's just my personal opinion. If they didn't fire him, I wasn't going to lose sleep over it or anything like that. Like, you know.
Right.
But it's not – I'm not against it. You know, it's I feel like this is Showtime's decision. There is no uproar about this. There really isn't, like, you know. If there was a big uproar about it, believe me, they wouldn't have fired him. So I'm not losing sleep over it. I have no sympathy at all for Paulo Malignaggi.
Well, that's because they're Mexican and you're stealing everybody's jobs, Vato. Of course you're not losing any sleep, which is kind of surprising because if you're stealing everybody's jobs, that means you're not getting any rest. Amilcar, what about you, brother? Was it a good decision for Showtime to say, hey, you know what, buddy, we're not going to want to see you back next week in the office?
I mean, to be honest, I was surprised he didn't get fired when he said he was going to put shit in that guy's mouth before the bare-knuckle fighting thing at press conference.
I'm sorry, I didn't even hear. You're breaking up bad. What happened? What did you say?
So I said that I was surprised that he didn't get fired after he said he'd take a shit in that guy's mouth before the press conference or his bare-knuckle fighting debut. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
I mean, how does a guy who's a broadcaster on a major network that works for a major corporation get away with saying shit like that?
He even spit in the guy's face, remember?
Yeah, and he spit in the guy's face. I mean, that's not the type of guy you want representing you. So I feel like he's done a lot of things over the years. And I do find him insightful at times during fights. But there are plenty of other people who I think could do his job just as good or better. So I don't disagree with it. And from a business perspective, D-Star was alluding to this. Like, look, Mexican-Americans are one of the biggest demographics. They're one of the biggest viewership audiences of boxing. You can't be, and other minorities, by the way, you can't be saying things like that and expect that a corporation that needs to sell subscriptions is going to keep you hired.
I mean, just really quick, I mean, look at the pay-per-views. You got Tank versus Leo. You got the Charlotte twins, okay, coming on pay-per-view soon, right? Dude, there ain't no way. You know, you're going to be saying the things he said about, you know, George Floyd and Arbery. You know what I mean? And expect African Americans to support Showtime. You still have this dude there, right? You can't expect Mexicans, you know, to be supporting, you know. There has to be a negative impact if you keep Paulo Malignaggi in there. And so I do believe that business had a lot to do with this decision at the end of the day. But, you know, I support the decision.
There we go. You have three of us here that say we support that decision, you know. I'll go back again. I like the Paulo Malignaggi in the Showtime box commentator seat. I thought he did a good job. I'm not going to lie. I agree with a lot of folks when they say he knows how to call a fight. That's when he's on his low. But when the guy gets on his high and he's out of that box, he's not a likable person. He's not. Anyways, if you guys want to call in, you can 347-215-7598. Let us know if you agree. I'll take our first caller before we move on to our next topic here, which is going to be about the 122 division, which I'm excited about. Let's patch in really quick. Area code 510. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's up, Dave? What's up, Amilcar? What's up, D-Star, Fernando? How you doing?
Fernando, ¿qué pasó? What do you think,
hey,
Fernando?
Man.
Was it a good idea of Paulo Malignaggi, bro? Or are you gonna miss homeboy?
Well, to be honest, dude, I mean, like, I'm kind of the same boat with you, man. He was fine as a commentator, you know. I work in construction, so I work with, like, kind of racist people, you know. Some people are racist, and
absolutely.
I start to work with them, and it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't bother me. They don't mess with me. we're cool, you know, like whatever. I mean, we're not cool, but just, you know, keep that to yourself and we'll be fine, right, man. We'll go to work together. You know, same thing with, like, when I'm watching a fight, I don't really need to necessarily dig into the commentator's political beliefs, as long as he's not, like, you know, being aggressive like Pauly was this weekend with it, you know. I do feel like, I hate to say it, man, I know you're a big fan of his. I'm sort of a big fan of his too, of Abner's, but I'm not really thrilled with him being the new color analyst. I don't think he's very good, and I'm not a fan.
Listen, folks. There is an inner racism between Mexicanos and Chicanos. We've been at war for many, many years. No, you know what, Fernando? No, I agree with you. Look, I like Abner Mars. I think he needs to kind of settle into the seat, and then we're going to see where he's at. I think this past Saturday we heard a nervous – because, you know, to be honest, whatever you think of Pauly Malignaggi, that is a big shoe to fill up. You know, because Pauly did it naturally. You could really see that was his zone. The only problem with Pauly is that he didn't understand that, bro, this was your calling. Like, you didn't have a big punch. You know, you weren't going to be the Julio Cesar Chavez of the world. You just weren't going to be that crossover star that you so much yearned for. You know, you were going to probably be known as a very good color analysis. And that's about it. Abner Mars has got to have – he's got a lot of work, a lot of coaching. But I'm only going to, you know, wish the best for the Faiza homeboy, because he is Raza. And I'm really happy that we see one of our own get the opportunity to go out there and show, you know, show he's got some talent. You know, and it's not like Abner doesn't know what he sees. He was making some good calls. It's just got to flow a little bit better. He's got to become more comfortable.
I was just going to say, I mean, Raul Marquez, I always thought he did a really good job calling fights. I don't know what happened to him. And I also thought the Magic, Antonio Tarver, was like one of the best color commentators honestly I've ever heard. But he lost his job because of drugs. Actually, he only lost it because he tested positive for PEDs, right, in one of his fights.
Right, yeah.
And he lost his commentating job. The two are kind of unrelated, but they got rid of him. So I think there are other more experienced guys out there, but I don't know. I don't think a guy should really be learning on the job for a position like this. Personally, I just think it should go to someone who's already proven themselves, but I might be the minority in that one.
I don't think you're wrong, Milcar.
Yeah, they had Raul Marquez in the Spanish commentating. I think they should switch now. I think they should have put Abner Mars in the Spanish, Raul Marquez in English. I think that's what they should have done.
Yeah, dude's polished.
Very polished, you know. It's like almost Raul Marquez is kind of cursed underneath the Oscar De La Hoya shadow. You know what I mean? He just never seems to want, you know, get out of the poor guy, man. You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, whose decision it came down to, and just be honest, is Uncle Al. Al wanted him there, and that's where he went. You know, that tweet I made, D-Style, I don't know if you saw that in Milcar or Fernando, when I had mentioned Abner Mars was a joke, because I know how Pauly Malignaggi was so upset and even trying to get, you know, blacks. I know, but if you remember when he was saying, like, oh, Mexicans are taking our jobs, he was trying to antagonize blacks to be against us, you know, because he was like, you guys are the ones who'd be more upset because they're taking your guys' opportunities. And I remember that whole rant. I was like, listen to this motherfucker right here, man. So when I heard this happen, I was like, I hope Abner Mars takes your fucking job, cabrón, so now that you have something to really rant about. And then it happens. Who knew that Al was going to listen to me?
Dude, if he said that, I mean, even that's like, what does that even mean? Like, the Mexicans, those jobs are supposed to be your job. Like, well, what does that even mean?
I don't know, bro.
It's code word. It's a dog whistle for, look, African-Americans and other black people, like, from the Caribbean and stuff. But Mexicans, we're all just low-skilled. You know, we don't have college degrees,
right.
So they're taking our jobs.
Divide and conquer, man. Yep. Divide and conquer.
Yep.
You know, they're not taking the jobs of the smart people, you know, the college-educated whites. They're taking the jobs of the underclass. That's what that
was. Yeah.
I mean, that's why blacks and Latinos are the most affected by the COVID, right? Because we're the ones out here working. I haven't stopped working since this whole thing started, man. I've been working every day, man. I'm scared. I'm pretty much scared the whole time, you know?
Just stay safe, brother.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, I work, you know, and that's why we're like the most, people of color are the most affected by this in the United States, because we're the ones out here working, man, you know? And, yeah, it's scary.
We're the essentials. We're the ones that are causing, supposedly, you know, we're the biggest threats, you know, us people of color and stuff. But, Fernando, before we go on our next topic, brother, you got anything you want to throw out there you want us to talk about?
No, I'm just called in because I'm excited, you know, listen to you guys talk about the upcoming, hopefully you guys discuss it, the upcoming Charlo pay-per-view, the Ramirez fight with Pascal, and I think there's some other big fights coming up at the end of the month. I don't think there's any really big fights this weekend, but I'll still watch them, man. I enjoy the fight, so I'm excited. I'm glad boxing is back, and I'm glad you guys are back too, man. So thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you, man. We're definitely going to touch into the Showtime schedule here, you know, but I want to talk about this past Saturday on Showtime. We had a 122 stack card there, you know, Anglo Leo, and you also had the Beast Aline on the card. You know, that 122 division, guys, I got to tell you, it's starting to really stir up some ring robins here that hopefully are going to happen down the line.